The WPKY Saturday Morning Quarterback Show is on the air on 1580, 103.3 WPKY and WPKYonline.com. Time to take a look back at last night's Caldwell game. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
The Caldwell County Tigers are 3-1 after a big win over at Webster County last night. 56-14, the final score, as Caldwell County made its first trip over to Webster County in 18 seasons and came back with a big win. Good morning, everyone. This is Todd Griffin. We're live from McDonald's on 62 West. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback, and we've got coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us to start the show this morning. And Coach McClung, it was kind of nice to have one that we kind of had in hand at halftime and could have a little fun in the second half.
Yeah, it was a good opportunity to let a bunch of the younger kids play, and I was glad to see them get to play. And we went over there and took care of business, and I was happy with our effort and how we played. You know, there's still some things we need to clean up. I still feel like we haven't played as well as we can offensively, and there's some special team stuff that we got to clean up. But overall, I felt like it was a good game for us going into district play.
Got off to a really good start. A couple of mistakes on Webster County's part kind of helped you guys get off to a good start, too. The punter with his knee on the ground gave you fantastic field position, and then they put the ball on the ground a couple of times for you.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to take the ball first to start the game, and they won the toss, and they decided to take the ball. And you know, we didn't want to show a lot defensively, and they got a couple first downs early. We got a lot of speed on defense, and we forced a lot of turnovers this year, so we were able to get that done. And I was kind of hoping our offense would get more opportunity to stay on the field and work on what we need to work on, but we played well in the time we did, and we just need to continue to get better.
I thought the game plan was always to defer to the second half.
I thought so too. I thought we would start off with the ball. I really wanted us to start off with the ball because I wanted to start off with a full field. I wanted to have to go 70 or 80 yards on the first drive, but you know, it didn't work out that way, and that's fine. And we saw some things last night. We got some people, some touches last night that haven't got a lot of touches, and hopefully that little bit of experience will get us ready for the next game.
Jeff, when you look at yardage in the first half, we had 247 yards. They had 33, so the defense was doing a pretty good job of getting off the field.
Yeah, defense got after it. I think, gave up a couple little first downs there in the run, and they do some different stuff wing T-wise that kind of presents different to you. But I think once we got it figured out, once Coach Burger kind of got an idea about how they wanted to attack us, I think the calls came, and when the calls came, the kids just kind of pinned their ears back and went and made plays.
We talked about time of possession last week in the Union County game, how that kind of played into Union County's favor. Well, the time of possession last night really wasn't all that much different than the Union County game. I think Webster County had it for like 33 minutes, but a vastly different outcome.
Well, I think a lot of those 33 minutes were continuous, continuous running clock probably helped that stat out a little bit. But no, I thought overall, I think defensively we kind of did what we had to do. We kind of got settled in and started making some plays and took advantage of the mistakes that they made. And then I think offensively we executed. I think we had confidence. I thought we had a really good offensive practice Thursday, and I don't have a lot to do with it. I was kind of sitting over there just kind of watching it, and I thought the kids were efficient and throwing and catching and being quick and getting in and getting out of the huddle and getting off the ball and doing the good things. And I think that you could see that on Friday night. And I think once the defense settled in and kind of attack the wing T stuff and the different stuff that they gave us in the backfield, I think it just showed that you know, we just had a little more talent on the field than they did.
I was going to say, I thought Webster County had some kids that looked pretty good. They had some nice size up front, and I still say defensively up front they're not that bad, but I don't think they had enough players.
Well, yeah, that, and they're big, but I think, as Coach alluded to earlier, I think we're just a little bit faster than them. And you know, once you kind of get speed going, and it's hard to, you know, I think if you ask any football coach in the country, where do you want to start with? Everybody's going to pick speed, and I think we just had a pretty good speed advantage over them. And our kids are, you know, we're not tiny kids. We got big kids that go around, and then we're pretty physical at times. So, you know, we were pretty pleased with how it came out.
Hey, I actually have the time of possession written down. I should check my notes every now and then. Webster County had it for 31:06, and we had it for 16:54, and we had the ball less than 6 minutes in the second half.
It's a deceiving stat.
Yeah.
Doesn't indicate.
Sometimes it's
sometimes it's right.
Yeah, sometimes it's not.
50% of the time, it works 100% of the time.
But you throw that running clock in the second half, and, Jeff, that kind of skews all the numbers.
It does. It does. I mean, you kind of get the clock rolling, and you make some substitutions and kind of let your less experienced kids play, and then if they don't make similar substitutions, then it kind of skews a little bit. But that's okay. That's part of football. And as Coach said, it was really fun seeing some of the younger guys get in, and, you know, the kids were chanting for the younger guys. The older kids are on the sideline chanting the younger guys' names as they're out there running around trying to play a little bit. So that's fun. That's fun for our kids, and I think it's a confidence builder for those kids that come to practice all the time, don't always get to play in a varsity game.
Coach McClung, did you guys deliberately try to go a little faster offensively in the game last night?
Yeah, I think we wanted to increase the tempo. We increased the tempo in practice this week. We feel like we play a little better when we keep it simple and go faster. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we wanted to do, and we went out and did it. And I felt like it worked for us. I feel like sometimes we overthink things and get confused. So, you know, we just want to line up and get the right people with touches, and that's really what we try to do this week.
Do you feel like the offense is coming together now more? You've had four games this season, because last year it seemed like the last half of the season, mm-hmm. we were pretty good offensively.
We were, and, you know, I still don't really feel like we've played what I would consider be a good game offensively, a clean game. But we are better. We, you know, we're better than we were 4 weeks ago. But I really think that we could be a really good team offensively, and we're still a long way from where I think we should be. But we have improved, and that's all I can really ask for. You know, we got more drops than we need. We're missing more reads than we need. The blocking needs to get better. We still got growth there. So, you know, in a way, you can look at it as glass half full. You know, we still have a lot of growth, and we should be a lot better, and we're just going to keep working hard and try to get there and be as good as we can be.
Well, one of the goals last night was not to let Webster County use its new lights and let them flash on and off. Now, they did get a couple of touchdowns late on us and got to use the strobe lights.
Yeah, they got to use them. They're cool. They were cool, but after, you know, when they, it's 35-0 when you get to finally use them. So I don't know. I don't know if I would have used them when I'm down that much, but they did, and it was cool. And the LED lights are really bright. I got to say that. It's a lot different than it used to be.
Yeah, we used to joke that you needed a miner's hat with a light on it when you went over to Webster County to play, but I used to wonder if maybe that was kind of deliberate on Webster County's part, because, you know, Jeff, they would wear maroon on maroon, and it'd be dark, and they'd hide the football really well, and I always thought maybe that was part of their
little gamesmanship,
yeah,
on their
home field advantage.
I would say probably from an administrative standpoint, lights are super expensive, so I would guess that they had some, and they worked, and they had to spend some money on some other things. But, you know, hats off to them. We talked about it a little bit. They're making improvements over there and trying to upgrade their facilities, and I think, you know, the lights and the new track, all that stuff looks really good. I think you know, they had some issues with their surface and have got their surface right, but I'm sure that when the season's over, they'll go back and rehash and try to get that right too. And, you know, once they get that done, they've got a pretty nice facility. Once the surface is up, and, you know, you don't have to dress at the school anymore and walk up that hill and walk back forth down. I always hated kids walking down the hill when all the traffic was trying to leave. So they're doing a good job of making improvements, and you know, Zach LaGrange, AD over there, is doing a good job. So they're moving in the right direction, I think.
Well, it probably didn't help the field that they did so much work over there over the summer, putting new lights up and putting the track in, and then it didn't rain for a month and a half either, so
right.
that probably didn't help.
I think that's kind of what happened. I think they kind of planted some Bermuda seed, or I don't think they sprig or sod. I don't know. That I'm not a turf guy, so I don't know, but it didn't work out very well for them, and now they've been trying to band-aid it together and keep it together so their kids can continue to play at home. And, you know, playing there is better than trying to find one of the older – fields in the county to go play at. So, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I kind of told the kids, I said, you didn't care about the grass when you're in 8 years old. Yeah. Somebody threw the football out and said, go play football. So you can't worry about it now. And they did a good job putting it out of their mind and going out and doing what they're supposed to do.
It was a completely different experience playing over there, though, with the stands, and their stands were full. I can remember years past, you'd go over and they wouldn't have a great turnout for football. And I know it was homecoming last night, but they still had a great crowd there, and they were kind of engaged in the game, even though it was kind of lopsided from their side. And it was just a whole lot different atmosphere than, you know, maybe what you remember from 20 years ago when we used to go over there.
Yeah, I think they were young. I think they probably got a pretty good parent base, and the fans are interested, and homecoming brings some people out. So it was a good atmosphere, and I think the lights and the fireworks, and they're trying to do all the things to keep kids interested and build their program back to kind of what it was maybe a few years ago, or kind of what we remember the last time we played them. And, you know, you just got to tip your hat to people who are continuing to work and trying to make their program the best that it can be. And sometimes you got to go play a team you've got more talent than, and we got to go try to win. And, you know, we did that, but, you know, we don't have any ill will towards them. Hope they do well and can put it together, except when they play us.
Coach McClung, I mentioned, I thought Webster wasn't bad defensively up front, but I thought just from watching their games with Crittenden County and Muhlenberg County, you guys could get on the edges and you guys could throw the ball a little bit against them.
Yeah, I really, you know, I felt like they hadn't really played a team that was as fast as us and as physical as us. I felt like we were the best team that they faced up to this point. And, you know, I talked to the kids about that, and they were physical on film, you know, that we saw them get after teams physically. But, you know, we felt like that we had the advantage against them, and I really tried to emphasize that we need to focus on ourselves and we need to play well. If we play well, I told them that I didn't feel like they had any answers for what we could do, but we had to play well. And you know, we played well most of the time, I felt like, and kids played hard and got a good result.
What was your thoughts on the defensive effort last night? Because we mentioned just 33 yards and I think 3 first downs for Webster in the first half.
Well, you know, we stayed pretty vanilla with them. You know, we got after them physically. I thought the kids played hard. You know, I think there are some angles that we need to work on, especially getting people turned back in, that we can improve on. But, you know, we didn't want to show a lot. We didn't feel like we had to show a lot of what we do defensively against them. And the kids got after them, played physical, and, you know, they got a few first downs. But I think that gives us stuff on film that we can work on and use to get better.
We're on Saturday Morning Quarterback this morning, live from McDonald's on 62 West. Tiger coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us. Also, Cam Wilson's here. We're going to talk to him when we come back. So stay with us as we continue on Saturday Morning Quarterback here on 1580, 103.3 WPKY.
Uncover the charm of banking local with Fredonia Valley Bank, your steadfast financial partner since 1894. Through times of change, Fredonia Valley Bank remains by your side to handle your banking with a legacy of excellence. Discover strength in their local roots and experience the difference of genuine community banking. Embrace the mantra of living local. Eat, buy, and bank local. Fredonia Valley Bank. Local people, local decisions, and local commitment. Your true hometown bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Caldwell Medical Center, caring for your family is at the heart of what they do, offering family practice, internal medicine, and pediatric services to handle your health needs. From wellness exams and vaccinations to the treatment of various health conditions, their comprehensive care keeps you covered. Don't travel for quality health care. Find everything your family needs with Caldwell Medical Associates Family Practice Clinic, right here, close to home. Find more information at caldwellmedical.com.
Ever have one of those medical questions you're too embarrassed to ask?
Is mayo actually really good to put in your kids' hair if they have lice?
I get up 2 or 3 times a night to pee. Is that normal?
What should you do about sugars?
Starting September 15th, Community Medical Clinic will join Coffee Talk to spill the beans. Text your questions at 270-963-9038. Listen middle Mondays at 8:15, and you might just hear your answer.
I don't know.
Is that normal?
What's the real answer?
Is that true?
Spill the beans, only on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Did you know every time you shop in our big deal store, you're not just grabbing a great bargain? You're supporting local businesses right here in our community? At WPKY, the Big Deals Program allows local businesses to trade gift certificates for advertising, helping them grow as they reach more customers. And don't we all want our business community to grow? Help our local business community thrive and save money, too. Shop Big Deals at WPKYOnline.com and make a difference. Visit WPKYOnline.com and click on Big Deals today.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Caldwell County with a big win over at Webster County last night, 56-14. Tigers now 3-1 on the season, and this is Saturday Morning Quarterback live from McDonald's on 62 West. Coaches Jeff Riley and Aaron McClung with us on the show this morning, and Coach, we've got Cam Wilson with us. Tell us a little bit about the night he had last night.
Well, he scored about every way you can think of. He had a touchdown reception, two rushing touchdowns. Yeah. Two rushing touchdowns and returned a kickoff for a touchdown. I thought they would probably onside kick us. They don't really have a guy who can kick it deep, and they get onside kick a lot. So I planned on starting the game with the hands team on the field, and when they were down 30, and they took the ball first, so we didn't get to do it. And then when they were down at halftime at 35-0. I thought that they would onside kick us, and Cam's on the hands team, and he came up to me at halftime and said, "Coach, if they kick it to me, can I return it?" Because he had that premonition as well. And I said, yeah, go ahead and return it. And they did, and it was a mistake. You know, you don't see that very often. That's pretty rare. You know, when I played at Western, Joey Stockton did it, and when we played Southern Illinois. So, you know, when you get an onside kick, you know, there's no – you don't have any blockers. All you have is 10 yards between you and the kickoff team. So, but the good thing about it, what Cam did when he caught it, they were just standing there like they were in shock because he didn't fall down.
Yeah.
He just took off. And once you get past those first guys, you're gone. And he was. So,
Cam, did your eyes get big when that ball came towards you?
Yeah.
What was kind of the game plan? I mean, were you anticipating it coming in your direction?
Yeah, the ball's kind of turned my way, so I figured it was kicking it to me. And then it got the perfect bounce, just got in and took off.
Talk about the season you've had so far this year.
Just been going out every week and trying to help these guys play the best they can and just get wins. Yeah. We haven't had a lot of success the past few years, so we're just trying to keep building. Going.
Feel pretty good to be 3-1 then?
Yeah, really good.
How do you assess the team's play so far this season? Overall, how have you played?
How have I played?
Yeah, well, the team as a whole.
Oh, we've played really good, especially defensively. I feel like our defense has won us most of these past three games we've won.
Now, do you have a favorite side of the football?
Probably offense.
Do you like playing offense?
Yeah, I like scoring.
That's always fun, isn't it, Coach?
Oh, yeah. It's always fun. Cam is a football player. He's not like a lot of guys. They think that they think that they're a quarterback or a running back or a linebacker, and they pencil themselves in at a very young age, and they think that that they have to be successful in that position. And it, you know, a lot of times they end up being disappointed because they're not as good at that position. When I first took the job, I told the kids I don't want a wide receiver, I don't want a safety, I don't want a defense, I want football players. Because football players just do whatever you want them to do, and they just wherever you stick them, that they're going to try to be the best they can be. And you know, that's what Cam is. He's just a football player. You know, he could probably play. I mean, and I'm being realistic. He could probably play any position on the field. He could play center. He could play free safety. He could play corner. He could kick if we wanted him to kick. He could kick. You know, he's a football player. So. That's really what I want, the kind of guys I want on my team. I want guys that just want to win football games and go out and play the game and not think about what they think they are. It's just, how can I contribute? And the Cam, he does that. He does whatever we ask him to do. We line him up at receiver and run him on a 50-yard streak pattern, and then we put him in the backfield and we ask him to block on ISO. And he does all that. And he plays inside linebacker, and we ask him to blitz, and he'll line up at defensive end, and we'll get after the quarterback, and then we ask him to cover somebody in man coverage, and he does all those things. So, you know, he's a main playmaker on our team, and you know, he's also a great kid. He's a great student. So, you know, he's the kind of guy you want on your team.
Cam, you're out there for a whole lot of plays, a lot of games. Do you, ever get worn down a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I get pretty tired. Yeah. At the first two games, I was cramping really bad. And the third one, it kind of went away. And I wasn't cramping at all last night, but I was definitely tired.
Now, you were on the sideline with some cramps against Marshall County.
Yeah.
But when you stripped the football, it didn't look like you were having any problems running back down the field for a touchdown.
Coach Berger told me he needed me in, so I went in, got in the pile, got the ball, and I was just like, I got to go. I was praying I didn't cramp running down to the end zone.
Now, talk about your off-season workout a little bit and what all you've done to get ready for this season.
Just show up to summer workouts and practices, and we stayed together as a team a lot this summer, and I think that helps.
Yeah, Coach McClung, it just seems like your team came back a little bigger and quicker this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's been a process. You know, that first year when we went 1-10, you know, Cam was playing that year, and he came out late that year. And as soon as he was able to play, he got to contribute that year along with some other young guys. And, you know, that really was a really important year. You know, a lot of people look at that record and they just think, you know, what a terrible season. But, you know, going through that season and getting all those kids that experience and going through and playing freshman and varsity football, there was purpose behind that. And, you know, I really felt like my job that season was just to keep them together, keep them playing, keep them positive, keep them trying to win games. And I thought that we would become a better program eventually. And we're seeing the fruits of that now. And the kids need to realize that we can't be complacent because we got better. We have to keep working to keep – because we have bigger goals. We have bigger goals than winning a playoff game and having a winning season. Ultimately, we want the big goal, and so we're just going to keep working and do our best to try to get there.
Yeah. Cam, when you guys talk on the team, what are your goals for this season?
We want to win state. Yeah. But, yeah, that's what we want to do.
It's always a good goal to have.
Well, you know, if you play, you know, it's really – everybody has that goal, you know. I don't talk about that a lot. You know, I try to set goals that are more immediate, because I know this, you know, it's just like a drive in football. You get first downs. You're trying to get a first down. You're trying to get a first down because eventually a first downs lead to touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that's the state, you know, we want to get a first down. And the next step is we want to win. We want to beat Trigg County on Friday night. So, you know, ultimately our goal every season is to win a state championship. But to get there, it starts this week. It starts Monday. It starts at practice. So that's kind of what we try to do. We focus on the present, and we try to get better. And hopefully it'll lead us to where we want to be.
Well, in some ways it feels like the season has just begun. But you're four games into the regular season. And that game next week with Trigg County is really a big one, not just because it's Trigg County, but it becomes a district game and, you know, could end up being the difference in playing at home in the playoffs and not playing at home.
That's right. And that's the way we're going to treat it. It's like a playoff game. That's the way we want to look at it. That's the way we want to prepare. And, you know, the game is going to be won in the preparation. You know, we're going to win the game on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and practice. And then Friday, we just go out and execute what we prepared. That's how you do it. You win the game during the week. You just go play it on Friday. And, you know, I'm sure that Trigg is going to be prepared as well. And you know, they have a really good team this year. And we got a good team. And it's going to be a hard-fought game. And nothing's going to be easy about it. And we're just going to go give it our best shot and hopefully come away with our 1-0 in the district.
Cam, what makes that Trigg County game so fun every year?
I just love playing them guys. I'm friends with a lot of them, so yeah. I get bragging rights if we beat them. And it's just a district game this year, a big game.
Does it feel like a bigger game to you guys this year?
Yeah, it feels like a big game. Yeah. We've all been talking about it. We just have to come in and work this week and get ready for Friday.
Yeah. Coach, a lot more district games this year, and it does feel like we're starting district play earlier because, well, we are. You know.
Yeah, and it's good, and it's, you know, it's going to be hot. It's going to be a hot night, and, you know, conditioning is going to play a big part in the game. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're ready to play in a dogfight. It's going to be a hard-fought game, and, you know, kids are going to have to gut it out, and probably conditioning will they have a big factor in who wins.
Feel like Trigg County is probably better than their 1-3 record shows.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, and the, you know, they've had 2 1-point losses, so those are games that they could have won. They could easily be 3-1. You know, and Hopetown is a lot bigger school than them, so I'm sure that that was a lot to do with that game. I haven't seen that film yet, so, you know, we're going to prepare like we're playing a 4-0 team. You know, we're going to treat them like they're, you know, it doesn't matter. Record doesn't matter. Everybody's 0-0 in the district, so we want to be 1-0 after Friday, and I'm sure they want to be 1-0 as well, so we're going to go, we're going to try to get there.
You guys have had some success against Trigg in the last few years. I know, does that winning streak ever get talked about? Or?
I mean, not really. Not, you know, it's just another game for us. You know, I know there's a trophy in it, and yeah, I know they really want to win it, and, you know, we really want to make sure that they don't get it. Yeah. So, you know, that's really the thing, but it's just another game.
Well, when we had the Gold Rush Golf Scramble this summer, it was actually won by a team from Trigg County. And they said, well, you guys beat us in football all the time. It's about time we won something.
Well, that trophy, I have a lot of funny stories about that trophy I'm not going to tell right now.
It would make a good story at some point. Yeah. You know?
Well, let's just say that sometimes the trophy hasn't made it to the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, so.
Well, Cam, we appreciate you coming on and being part of the show this morning, and continued success on the football field. Cam Wilson with us, coaches Jeff Riley and Aaron McClung on Saturday Morning Quarterback this morning, live from McDonald's on 62 West. We need to get to a break. We'll come back and have more football talk after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
It's harvest season, and Pennyryle Electric asks that we all remain alert and aware in order to keep our communities safe. Pennyryle Electric offers farmers a few safety tips. Keep heavy machinery at least 10 feet from power lines. Use a spotter. Ensure all employees are trained on electrical safety. Routinely inspect your equipment. And always make sure first aid kits and emergency contact numbers are easily accessible. Pennyryle Electric, since 1937.
Getting the kids to school makes mornings a little busier for everyone. Keep your kids safe with a reliable ride from U-Ride. Every vehicle is thoroughly checked for safety because they know your family comes first. From first cars for teens to dependable family SUVs, U-Ride has a range to fit every budget. Enjoy peace of mind knowing they're nearby and ready to help. U-Ride is committed to you after the sale. Visit them on Marion Road in Princeton and drive with confidence this school year.
With Planters Bank, you're served up points with every swipe of your Planters check card with You Choose Rewards. You'll earn points on every credit transaction you make with your Planters Bank Visa check card. Visit PlantersBankOnline.com to learn more. You Choose Rewards on the Planters Visa check card. Reason number 15, that Planters is the bank where you can expect great things. Member FDIC.
It's volleyball time, Caldwell County.
I'm Sue Stone, and I want to invite you to join me for all of your Caldwell County volleyball coverage on WPKY.
Join Sue Stone and the WPKY Sports Edge team Tuesday, September 16th at 7 p.m. as the Lady Tigers take on Madisonville North Hopkins live from the CAB. Your home for Caldwell County Lady Tiger Volleyball.
Caldwell County Volleyball is on WPKY.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
The Caldwell County Tigers are 3-1 after winning over at Webster County last night. Tigers leading 35-0 at halftime on the way to a 56-14 victory over the Webster County Trojans. Next week, Trigg County comes to Tiger Stadium for the big 139 Bowl. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We're on Saturday Morning Quarterback live from McDonald's in Princeton. Coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us again on the show. And, Coach, not just Trigg County coming up next week, but our next four games are all out at Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, that's awesome because I hate getting on the bus. It's last night was a pretty good bus ride, and I look forward to not having to get on the bus for a month. And especially then probably next time I get on the bus, it'll be colder at least, so that'll be That'll be more enjoyable bus trips.
But I tell you what, we had a good group of Tiger fans over at Webster County last night.
We do. We have great fans. Travel real well. everybody should want to play us for that reason. You know, we're gonna come buy tickets that you replace, buy concessions, and we travel really well. Got a good fan base. You know, not just parents. You know, a lot of places, the only people that travel are parents, and we got fans that travel that just want to watch us play, and we appreciate them coming out and supporting us. We're a town that's very supportive of our football program.
For the first time ever over at Webster County, and Jeff, you can talk about this a little bit, there were actually stands on the visitor sideline, so it's just an entirely different feel when there's people behind you instead of being kind of over there lonely by yourself.
Yeah, it is. It does add to the atmosphere. I know sometimes as coaches, you kind of like the solitude, but then it's a whole lot more fun when those cheers start coming and people yelling behind you, and the kids can look over their shoulder and see their parents and their fans behind them, and the cheerleaders are back there, and you know, of course, they bring a lot of energy, so that's a fun thing to do, and it just adds to the high school football atmosphere, I think.
Yeah, not just some stands, but there were people standing all over that side. So I think we had the stands full and a lot of blue and gold.
Yeah. And then some, yeah. It didn't take much to fill the stands. And then there was a bunch of people standing along the fence, and some people brought lawn chairs. And, you know, I venture to say there's probably some people even sitting on Webster County side, probably, I think. I don't know how many, but their stands were full too. So it was a good night.
Not just four straight home games coming up, but some interesting matchups. Street County is in there, Fort Campbell, Mayfield, Todd County Central is going to come to Tiger Stadium for the first time in a long time, and I think we have homecoming and Hall of Fame night and senior night and all those things in the four-game stretch.
All the things. We're going to have a busy month out at Tiger Stadium, and hopefully lots of good football, and hopefully lots of Tiger wins, and hopefully lots of people in the stands to kind of support the kids. And, you know, of course, that helps the program out, and if the football team is good draw, that helps athletics out. So all those things are important in running the whole show, and hopefully we can kind of center it around some positive fun nights at Tiger Stadium.
And all of those games are district games. We've got those four district games, then we go to Crittenden County. So that's your next five games right there, and that's going to tell the tale on where we end up in the playoffs, or if we get to the playoffs, or if we win the district, you know?
Yeah, that's the one thing about having a big district like this, that, you know, there's no mulligans to get to the playoffs. You've got to win two games to get in, and, you know, those games start Friday night, and, you know, our biggest rivals, the teams we play every year, the teams that are, you know, people talk about all the time, the teams that they say you need to go win games, those are the ones that are coming up. So these first four games have been kind of preparation for those, and it's time to get started on the second season on Monday.
Checking some scores from last night, Trigg County will be 1-3 when they come to Tiger Stadium for the 139 Bowl. Hopkinsville got them 55-28 last night. Trigg won its season opener, then had a couple of close games. Like Coach McClung said, they dropped back-to-back one-point decisions. Both of those games came down to a two-point conversion. So, Coach, you're right. Trigg County could easily be 3-1 sitting there coming into Tiger Stadium next Friday.
Yeah, I mean, they have been competitive in all their games. And, the good thing about, you know, football is a district play is really the only thing that really matters in the long run. So, you know, they don't have any losses in the district. We don't have any losses in district. So even though they're 3-1, they're 1-3 and we're 3-1, doesn't really matter. All that matters is what we do Friday night, and that's the way we need to look at it. And our goal needs to be undefeated in the district.
Looked like the Trigg County offense played pretty well last night against Hopkinsville, but Hoptown just had too many playmakers for the defense. And from what I saw of the game and just from some of the stats, Hopkinsville just kind of big played Trigg County all night.
Yeah, I mean, Hopkinsville, they're an improving football program as well, and they have a lot of kids. That's a tough opponent for Trigg, big school like that with good athletes, good size. So, you know, the score really doesn't really matter. You know, Trigg's got some really good playmakers. I haven't seen their stats or know anything about the game yet, so I don't know how they scored, but I'm sure they're going to be ready when they get here.
I know Hopkinsville had 470 total yards of offense, and I think 379 of that came in the air. So Trigg gave up some passing yards to the Hoptown Tigers.
Yeah. So, you know, we want to be a balanced team, so we'll take a look at what they do, and we'll try to figure out the best way to attack their defense, and, you know, we'll just see.
You guys actually got some things going in the passing game, especially the first half last night. As we mentioned, didn't have a lot of plays in the second half, and you guys were up a bunch, so there wasn't any real reason to throw the ball after that. But do you feel the passing game is kind of rolling into shape? And Derek Wilson had a big game for you receiving the ball last night.
Yeah, that's good. You know, obviously Cam is our biggest threat, and but we got some other people involved. Derek had several catches. I think Drew Stevens had a screen. He caught for a touchdown. Kesey had a catch last night. Dayton had a touchdown. So, you know, we want to get some other people involved because I think that'll make us better offensively if we can get the ball to any of our receivers. So that was our goal. We wanted to spread the ball around and get everybody involved. And, you know, Colson had a catch. So hopefully that will help us down the road.
I mean, we didn't talk about it yet, but Daylon to Dayton, we think that's the first time that two brothers have connected on a touchdown pass.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of any brothers in the 25 years I've been here that have caught a touchdown brother to brother. So, yeah.
According to the Stevensons, according to John H., Jack threw Eli a scrimmage one, and then he even went real deep and talked to Coach Earl Stevens, and Earl Stevens said he couldn't remember one. So we've decided that's the authority, and so yeah. This is the first time ever.
Yeah, that's a pretty tough combination to pull off for starters. You don't have a ton of brothers that just play together, and then to have one be a quarterback and one be a receiver and just happen to hook up on a touchdown pass. And the touchdown pass last night was kind of unique because the ball was deflected.
Yeah, it was it was late in the game, and we had some young kids in. We still had Daylon in, and you know Dayton is a really good athlete, and he's going to be a really good football player. But he's still learning, so. But he wants to score. He's a playmaker. So he just found a little hole in the end zone, and Daylon rolled out and threw it to him, and got tipped. And as soon as he catches it, he holds the ball up in there, and you know it was a really cool moment, and hopefully it'll help him develop faster and become a more important guy for us on Friday night.
I think Dayton knew if he didn't catch it that he would never hear the end of it. So he made sure he caught it, and he made sure that Daylon saw that he caught it.
Yeah, because that is a serious sibling rivalry.
I was going to say a little brotherly love there between the two.
Yeah, I don't think anybody gets on him any harder than his big brother.
Getting back to the scores, Crittenden County picked up a nice win last night. The Rockets over Union City, Tennessee, 21-14. And Coach McClung, the Rockets, I think, are finally getting healthy this season.
Yeah, I saw where their quarterback and receiver played. You know, that's a really good win. Union City is sometimes they're 1A or 2A in Tennessee, but they are they usually contend, go long in the playoffs in Tennessee. So, you know, that's a really impressive win for Crittenden County.
Caldwell County played Union City, Tennessee a couple of times back in the 70s, I think. I believe they're the Golden Tornadoes.
They are the Golden Tornadoes.
So there you go. This score surprised me a little bit. Not that Fort Campbell won, but that they beat Hopkins County Central 36-13. I thought that would be pretty competitive, and I probably would have given the Storm a little bit of an edge in that game.
Yeah, I would have thought Hopkins Central won, too. I did read a little bit about that. I think Central had 200-and-something yards of penalties, which is a killer any time. It's hard to overcome 200-and-something yards of penalties. So it doesn't sound like Hopkins Central played really well, and it sounds like the Dixon, I think his name's Dixon, that Fort Campbell's running back, had a really big game. I think he had 240 yards rushing. So.
Todd County Central is a team that's coming to Tiger Stadium later in the season. They lost to Joe Burns out of Tennessee 56-24 last night. And I don't see anybody else around here ever play Joe Burns, but I think Todd County Central plays them in like every sport. So it must not be too far across the state line.
I don't know anything about Joe Burns. It's BYRNS, isn't it?
Yeah, BYRNS, yeah. Joe Burns.
That's the only thing I know about him.
Mayfield picked up a big win last night. Mayfield rolling over McCracken County 39-3. So Mayfield was probably still stinging a little bit from that loss to Paducah Tillman, and they had a big bounce back win.
Yeah, that's a good win. I mean, I think McCracken County is better than they were last year, so that's a good win for Mayfield. You know, McCracken is a big 6A school, so that's a good RPI win as well. So, you know, Mayfield is obviously the favorite in our district, and that's who we're gunning for. But we got to take care of Cherry County and Fort Campbell first.
One of the teams we have played this season played a future opponent last night, and Murray, which we'll see at the end of the season, beat Marshall County 55-28, and I think Murray's 4-0 now.
Yeah, I think Murray has got a really good team. They're 3A now, and we play them on Halloween, and that'll be a good tune-up for us going into the playoffs. But they're really good, and you know, I expect them. I think they'll probably, you know, it'll come down between them and Union County in the next few weeks to who wins that district. Yeah.
Speaking of Union County, the Braves, after getting us last week, lost to Graves County last night, 19-15 in a close game. And Coach, maybe we softened up Union County a little bit for Graves.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I think Graves, I talked to Coach DiBernardi, I think Graves played a great game defensively. He did say that, you know, he said Zero is a stud for Union County, and yeah, he is. That McPeak kid is a tough guy to stop, and Graves did a pretty good job on him and beat him 19-15. And so I'm happy, you know, especially with how our Union County game ended. I was glad to see that my alma mater got a little revenge for me.
Well, and the game of the week this week in high school football was probably played on Thursday when Madisonville North Hopkins took down Paducah Tillman 25-22.
Yeah, I think Madisonville really got up for that game. I think it was smart that they played it on a Thursday, because Tillman was coming off the Mayfield game, and then they had a short week, and then they had to go to Madisonville. And you know, Madisonville's good. They got a great running back, and they're so big up front. So I'm sure that they got after Tillman physically and came away with a win.
I think Madisonville is 4-0 now, and they kind of wore out Union County a little bit too, and we saw how good Union County can be.
Yeah, that 5A district is really going to be interesting, because Owensboro beat Owensboro Catholic convincingly, and then Graves beat Union County. So between Madisonville and Graves and Owensboro, that's going to be real interesting how those games shake out.
So those are the scores from last night, like I said, and from Thursday. Some Thursday games on the schedule this year. I guess we're still having a bit of a referee shortage in the second region and around the area, but our Todd County Central game, as a matter of fact, later in the year, will be a Thursday night matchup.
Yeah, that'll be senior night. That'll be our last regular season home game, and it's coming off fall break, though, so I think we'll be rested up and ready to go. It really won't be a short week for us, and hopefully it's a good night.
Now, do you get asked to move your games because of the ref shortage, and do you have an option from Thursday or Saturday, or how does that work?
No, the AD just tells me when it.
Okay, so the AD, how does that work?
Well, actually, what happens is there's a, like in all sports, if there's a if you have to cancel or move a game, there's a order of operations, and it kind of goes outside of region, whatever. Mr. Davis, the assigner, kind of gives the AD Association a heads up, you know, usually, you know, sometime in August, and says, hey, I have enough crews to cover this weekend, but there's two or three weekends we don't have enough crews to cover, and I can't borrow from anybody, because sometimes you can get a crew from the first or third region or whatever to come over and call games. But if everybody's at home and there's not enough crews, then the only other solution is somebody has to move. So when somebody has to move, it just kind of goes around. Anybody who's willing to move, who wants to move, and you know, if you haven't moved or you want to move, then you can. And then sometimes out of region teams, if you're playing somebody from out of region, you're going to get asked to move first. And then once the teams move, then they don't have to move again. It gets kind of, you know, it gets kind of cumbersome as you go around the room. But it just kind of turned out that the 29th was a weekend in which was a big we had like two crews that were short. So I talked to Coach McClung, and he said, well, if he had to move one, he would rather move the one after fall break because of the time and preparation we're off that week. So we kind of went in and said, hey, we'll move this one if we don't have to move the 29th. And a couple other second region teams stepped up and said they would move off. I think Webster County moved off the 29th. And then, you know, we said, if we'll take this weekend and move ours up, if whatever. And then Madisonville kind of said, "Hey, we'll move our game with Timlin to that Thursday." That's why they ended up on a Thursday playing this week as well. And this was one of those full weekends, so it just kind of how it goes around the room once the schedules are built. And you know, Mr. Davis looks around and whatever. And I'll take the time right now to plug: if you want a good little side hustle and you love the game of football and you want to help and be around the kids and you know, you can do okay by a referee. Now, it's a lot of work. You got to go learn stuff. And, you know, it's not as simple as just standing out there and looking for somebody to hold on somebody. But there's a shortage, and you can call youth football games and you can call middle school games. And once you become a KHSA licensed official, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do, and you can advance as far as you want. And you're an independent contractor, and you can kind of set your own schedule. So, you know, if there's especially some young people, because the referee group isn't any younger, and they're always looking for young people to get involved in the game. And I try to encourage guys to get involved. And, you know, you can't play without those guys. Sometimes sometimes they get to be the villains, but that's not always fair. And you certainly can't play without them. So go out and make you a little extra cash and get involved in the game of football again and get under the Friday night lights. It's still pretty fun anyway.
One thing a lot of fans may not look for, but I always look at before the game starts, is how many officials we have, because sometimes there's five and sometimes there's seven. Typically, I think we have seven when we host a game, but when you go someplace else, the home school is responsible for how many officials you have out there.
Yeah, you get to choose. I think a few years ago when all the teams kind of went to spread offenses, they increased the number of officials. And, you know, so each school has a choice. You get to tell. You want to play five or seven. Our officials like to work seven-man crews because that's what you have in the playoffs. And the more experience you have in a seven-man crew, the more likely you are to advance and get the call, you know, deep into the playoffs. So we try to accommodate those guys. And, you know, we still like to spread the ball around. We like to get out and spread the field out. So having extra eyes, we just feels like most of the time is helpful. And so we try to accommodate those guys. And, you know, as long as we have good gates and it's not a financial burden to pay extra to officials, then we'll continue to do that.
This is Saturday Morning Quarterback. We are live from McDonald's on 62 West in Princeton this morning. Coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us on the show. Camden McGregor here on controls this morning with us at McDonald's. We need to get to a timeout, but we'll come back and have more after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights, Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout-out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
High school juniors and seniors, are you ready to take control of your financial future? First Southern National Bank is excited to highlight the Give, Save, and Spend course offered through Asbury University. This hands-on course teaches practical money management skills, including how to give generously, save regularly, and spend wisely. It's the perfect way to prepare for life ahead. Registration is now open on the Asbury University website. Don't miss this opportunity to build financial confidence that lasts a lifetime.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
This is Daniel Ingram with H&R AgriPower. Get a great deal on versatile Kubota equipment today, like the Kubota L-Series compact tractor, the number one selling compact tractor in the U.S., Z-Series mowers, and Sidekick utility vehicles. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment with 0% financing available, or save up to $3,500. Now through September 30th, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more details. Come and see us at H&R AgriPower, 4900 Eagle Way, Hopkins.
As a community, we've faced challenges. We've seen that working together as a team, we're stronger. This is Heather Riley, marketing specialist with the Edge Media Group. With over 7 decades of building customer relationships, we've learned a thing or two about teamwork. We're dream builders. Through marketing campaigns designed specifically for unique needs, we help customers grow, building today's ideas into tomorrow's legacies. This is Heather Riley. Come build a legacy with me. Find out how at theedgemediagroup.net.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
We are back on Saturday Morning Quarterback, live from McDonald's on 62 West in Princeton this morning. Caldwell County with a big win over at Webster County last night, 56-14. And we're talking with Tiger coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley this morning from McDonald's. And Coach, you guys had a big halftime lead last night. It was 35-0, and we actually got a little running clock going late in the first half. And the second half, you guys got to play a lot of younger kids and some newer guys. And for the average fan looking out there, it probably doesn't seem like that's that big a deal when you've got a big lead. But for those kids that get in the game, that is a big deal.
It is a huge deal. You know, we didn't get to play any JV games last year because we didn't have enough kids. And, you know, now we do have good kids. So, you know, we want to give kids a chance when we can to get out there and play. So hopefully we'll get to play some JV games this year. And it was good to see some of those kids out there getting to play on Friday night. You know, a lot of those kids are the future, our future Friday night guys. So a lot of them you'll see next year, playing. So it was good that they got the chance to get out there and play, and you know, they did a good job. They were flying around and being physical, and you know, going against Webster was playing varsity kids, so they got to get a little taste of what it's like, and hopefully that'll experience will pay off.
I was going to say some of those kids might not necessarily help you this season, but they could be big time players down the road.
Yeah, some of them we're looking for to step up this year, and you know, a lot of them play special teams a lot for us this year, so that was good for them to get some regular reps, and you know, I was happy to see their effort. You know, there were some execution stuff they were doing they didn't do right, but you know, it's because they don't get as many reps as the guys ahead of them, so it was good for them to get that opportunity, and I was glad to see them play.
When you guys watch this game again, though, probably a pretty good teaching tool, because you did a lot of good things you can talk about, but there were probably also a couple of things that you can talk about needing to do better.
Yeah, we have a lot of areas of improvement. And it's as a coach, you know, you win 56-14, and you the average fan thinks, oh, you should just be completely happy. But I watched film this morning before I came here, and I'm irritated. I see things on film that irritates me. I don't know why kids are doing. And as a coach, you got to be like that. Even when you think you get a big win and you blow somebody out, if you're not always looking for things to improve on, then you're not probably not a very good coach. And there's a lot from a coach's perspective. There's a lot of glaring holes I saw already on film, and I'm gonna tell the kids to try to get it fixed, because you know, my goal is we want to play perfect football games, and we may not ever play a perfect game, but we are in the pursuit of a perfect football game.
You know, we talked before the game that maybe there was an opportunity in special teams to make a big play last night, and you guys returned two kickoffs for touchdowns in the second half.
Yeah, and special teams is an area where I really think we need to improve a lot, a whole lot. And the reason why is because you see it, we returned two kickoffs, and we got some guys that can really make some things happen on special teams, but you know, we gotta do them right. I mean, we had 12 men on the field twice on extra point. I mean, what are we doing? You know, we still got guys jogging down on kickoff, and you know, and really the kickoff returns we had for touchdowns, those weren't even designed returns. I mean, we took an onside kick back, and the other one I had the hands team on the field, and they kicked it to Shane Farrow for whatever reason is a crazy thing to do. If you kick it to number three, you better watch out, because he can take it back. So.
Well, sometimes Shane just outruns everybody.
Yeah.
But on the 79-yard return last night, Jeff, maybe you can talk about it a little bit too. He made some guys miss, and he cut back a couple of times, and he kind of had to pick his way through traffic there before he got in the open, and then outran everybody.
Well, first of all, Shane's fast. Shane's probably the fastest kid on our team, and he was part of that state championship, you know, four by two. So he's a fast kid, and then, you know, when he gets his hands on the ball, and he can do electric things, and you know, we just got to get him consistent. I think he could be an offensive weapon as well as a return weapon. But yeah, he gets it. He can stop and make you miss, and sometimes he's going to take a chance because he has a lot of confidence in his ability, and sometimes he'll put you inside the 10. Yeah. But then the next time he might take the exact same chance and go, like you said, 79 yards for a touchdown. So, you know, sometimes you live and die with that stuff. But, you know, if we can get Shane consistently and execute offensively and get him to be to think offensively like he does in the special teams game, I think Shane could have a great second half of the season.
And he also had a big run for you guys in the second half.
Yeah, just stuff like that. Just, you know, let him get on the edge and find the seam and turn the wheels on and let him go and just have some confidence and just go run. And he can do some really good things with the ball in his hand and do that. And Shane will hit you, too. I think he had a couple really nice tackles on the kickoff team. I know one time he flew around, there was a big collision, and we thought, I looked up to see who was that, and it was Shane. So, you know, when Shane Farrell wants to go play football, he's as good a football player as we have, and we just got to get him to make sure he wants to and be consistent and come do it all the time.
He was the leading rusher last night with 52 yards, but just two carries. One of those was 47, but had some pretty good balance. Colson Maddox had 45 yards. Daylon Lander had 39. Cam Wilson had 36. So ended up with 181 rushing yards last night, which is a pretty good game, Coach.
Yeah, it is. It's good. I mean, really, almost all of it was in one half. So, you know, our statistics, you know, right now we really probably don't have as a lot of rushing and receiving yards as some other people, but it is deceiving because of some of the circumstances of the games. So I think we have four or five guys that could potentially rush for 100 yards in a game, and we'll have four or five guys that could potentially have 100 yards receiving in a game, and so I feel like that we are, our stats don't necessarily show how good we could be on offense. So hopefully down the road we'll get to see some more stats pile up for our guys.
Next week should be a fun one out here at Tiger Stadium. Again, Trigg County's coming over for the 139 Bowl. Expect a big crowd from both sides, and that ought to be a lot of fun. But, Jeff, we got some big games coming up for some other sports teams. Girls soccer is going to go to Hopkins County Central on Monday. The Lady Storm 10-1 this season, but Caldwell's 8-4. That's an important district game.
Oh, that's a huge district game. That'll go a long way to determine some seeding and kind of find out how the district tournament plays out. And we host a district tournament, so that'll be that's a great big game for those girls. And I know Coach Miller is pretty fired up. And, you know, Coach Miller, he's going to be fired up, and he's going to be nervous, and he's going to have a bunch of things on his mind, and he's going to be ready to go. But those girls will be ready to go and go play hard for him. And I like their chances, man. Sometimes being a little bit of an underdog and still having success under your belt can bode well for you. So maybe they can go over there and get one from the Storm.
So Lady Tigers at Hopkins Central for soccer on Monday. Volleyball action Tuesday at the Cab. Caldwell County and Madisonville North Hopkins, and we'll have that game here on WPKY Tuesday night. And Jeff, that's probably for the number one seed for the district tournament.
Yeah, for sure it is. It'll come down to some kind of tiebreaker, I think, if we can go ahead and steal one from them there, and, you know, take advantage of having a home court and get a win, and maybe we can secure the number one seed. And the number one seed in a three-team district means you're automatically in the regional tournament. So it is a big game for the girls. I think they went on a little bit of a skid, but got back on the right track this weekend. So hopefully they'll can continue their winning ways on Tuesday night. So
boys soccer with a big home district game against Hopkins County Central coming up Tuesday, but before that Monday. We get to finish the game with Webster County. We started about a month ago.
Yeah. A little unique situation on Monday night. You come out, we won't even charge you to buy a ticket. You come finish watch the game, and
so it's free.
Come on in, and we'll go ahead and just watch the rest of the game, and hopefully the Tigers come back and get a win over Webster County, and you know, get a little redemption there, and play a really good second half, and come out with the W.
And then we're going to finish the week as we Friday with a big home game against Trigg County in the 139 Bowl. Let's bring Camden McGregor in now, because I know there's some college football games to talk about today.
Yeah, we got a bunch of games come on this slate. We got LSU and Florida today, and then we have Georgia and Tennessee. Let's see here. We got Vanderbilt and South Carolina, and South Florida, 18th ranked South Florida, playing against Miami.
Don't ever sleep on South Florida.
So that's a pretty good matchup there. Kentucky plays Eastern Michigan. WKU is playing against Nevada today. at 6 o'clock, and Murray State plays against Georgia State at 6 o'clock. And last time Kentucky's played Eastern Michigan was in 2017, and Lynn Bowden was the quarterback, wide receiver, running back. Yeah. So basically the three-way player right there for Kentucky, and they went on to win 38-10. So hopefully that'll be the same outcome today. I mean, I really don't expect an upset, but you never know in college football anymore. So
I'm predicting a Kentucky win tonight.
I really hope so.
It's really going out on a limb there.
It's a night game, and
you're,
I don't
you're
know.
Hoping or praying?
Yeah, I'm guaranteeing a win tonight.
Yeah, I really hope so.
You're hurting here. 2-1.
Which will have no, new starting quarterback Cutter Bowley in, so we'll see how he gets to do tonight, and hopefully it'll be a pretty good game. So
I'm not going to make any predictions for the rest of the season, but I like Kentucky's chances tonight.
Yeah, I think this one is probably going to be a win, and we don't know what else is going to be. It's a coin toss. So,
Coach McClung, what are you watching today?
I'm going to watch Georgia and Tennessee. I wish they could both lose, but and then I'll probably watch LSU and who do they play?
Florida.
That'll be an interesting one. And then, of course, I'm going to be watching Ohio State. And I'll also guarantee a win over the Ohio Bobcats.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll hold you to that.
Ohio Bobcats is at 6 o'clock. So.
Well, and you guys, I'm sure, already getting ready for a big game next week at Tiger Stadium against Trigg County. Like I said, Trigg County is going to bring a lot of people over. I think they have a lot of excitement in their program. Even though they're just 1-3, I think it's definitely an improved Wildcat team. So kind of give us a preview of Friday night's game as Trigg County comes over here next week.
Well, the last few years, it's been a bunch of points scored in the game. So I hope that they don't score a bunch of points, but I they've got some big playmakers. So and we've got some big playmakers. So I think, you know, there's a chance that it could be a shootout, but you know, I don't really care. I just want to win, and that's what we're looking for. We just want to win the game.
Everybody that's a Tiger fan, get to Tiger Stadium Friday night for the 139 Bowl against Trigg County. That's going to wrap us up this morning from McDonald's on 62 West in Princeton. Appreciate them hosting Saturday morning quarterback this season. For Camden McGregor on controls here, and for Caldwell County coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley, and we also appreciate player Cam Wilson stopping in this morning. This is Todd Griffin. We appreciate you joining us from McDonald's on Saturday morning quarterback here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.